Looking for a new job or recruiting new talent? Kickstart your search on recruitireland.com, where people make better connections. Job seekers, find your perfect match with in-depth company profiles and handy career advice. Recruiters, advertise your jobs and showcase your company across Ireland's trusted media network. Recruitireland.com. Jump on to take off.
Hello, I'm Irene Feehan, and you're very welcome to Growing Pains, the Irish Examiner's parenting podcast series. With me today is Dr. Richard Hogan. He's Clinical Director of Therapy Institute, a family psychotherapist, and author of the best-selling book, Home is Where the Start Is. You're very welcome.
Hiya, Irene.
For the next 20 minutes, we'll be talking about helping your child in the run-up to exams. We know exams put our children under huge pressure, whether they're doing their junior cert, leaving cert, or sitting a college paper. And parents can often feel the tension as they walk on eggshells to avoid upsetting their stressed child. You'll find an ocean of advice online about ways to deal with the mounting pressure, but not so much on what parents can do to support their children. Richard, could we start by looking at what you don't say to your child?
Well, I wouldn't say to my child to relax. You know, it's like a kid having a tantrum. You're saying, you know, calm down. I don't think that's ever worked for us as a species. Calm down when you're angry, or, you know, relax. What's wrong with you? And so kind of try to avoid those things. What I'd always ask them questions around it, you know. And also, I think they should be stressed.
That's to be expected.
They will be stressed. And I think they got the wrong message on TikTok and all this stuff going on at the moment, that they shouldn't be stressed and that you can defeat stress somehow. It's like, no, stress is a very important part of the human condition. And when you're under pressure, stress is really important, you know. And before an exam, I know if it's consuming your life and you can't sleep, that's a different type of stress, right? But stress should be kind of getting you geared up for the thing and studying and thinking about the exam and planning for your future self and all. That's always a really important part of an exam. So I think, I suppose, parents around exam season probably tell them not to, you know, relax, be grand, all that kind of, watch just too much reassurance. Doesn't help anybody. It doesn't actually help children. Implicitly actually annoys them, if I'm being honest, about too much reassurance. I wouldn't overly reassure. I wouldn't tell them to relax. I might ask them a question. What are you finding particularly troubling about what's happening now? What's working well? What's not working so well at the moment? What can I do to support you here? Just a few kind of questions like that, maybe.
Almost like to be curious about how your child is doing.
Exactly. Be curious and try not to kind of bring, oh, you know, I did it in my day. Try not to get into that kind of stuff. And I would say, you know, allow for them to be a little bit more agitated and a little bit less, present in the family in some ways. And I would say just allow for that, because it's exam season. It's a bit tricky.
In a way, it seems to me really important to let your child know that you've got their back, no matter what the outcome of the examination.
Yeah, I think that's always important, that your child feels that support. Be by their side, not on it. You know, if you're on it, you're getting stressed as well and you're freaking out too with them and all that kind of stuff. Just be by their side, ask them some nice questions, have the fridge nicely stocked, all those kind of things, and just pull back a little bit from them, because they'll be a little bit more diva-esque, let's say, around the exam season. That's to be understandable. And I'd say, you know, when teenagers come to me and tell me, you know, I'm stressed about the exams, I say, of course you are. Of course you are. The exams are stressful. And that kind of calms them down. To validate, of course you're stressed. It's in a stressful exam.
And to accept that they're stressed.
You're accepted. Of course you're stressed. And what are you finding particularly stressful about it? I always ask those questions. What for you? Because, you know, I know for me I was stressed, but what for you is stressful? And what do you find stressful? And so you're letting them validate themselves and you're listening to it and you're not trying to rush to solve it for them, or you'd be grand. You know, those kind of comments just annoy them and agitate them and say, yeah, no, I get it. It's stressful.
And what do you hear most commonly in terms of what's stressing them about the exams?
Oh, just how overwhelming the amount of work is. And I'd always say to them, well, look, if you thought about Everest, if you looked at the summit, that would be overwhelming. But no one climbs Everest by looking at the summit. They're looking at the feet in front of them. And so you got to get your feet in front of you and think about the next little pocket of kind of time and the next little movement. And so think about those steps, because they all add up to the summit, but you have to start with the steps, right? And so, you know, again, I suppose boys aren't very good at being organized, if I'm being honest, around the Leaving Cert. Girls,
that's a general tendency.
It is a general tendency amongst boys to find the Leaving Cert. Because the Leaving Cert, what is the Leaving Cert? It's a consistency thing. It's about getting organized, you know. It's a consistency, working consistently, you know. I think girls kill boys in the Leaving Cert because they're more clued in. They're a little bit more mature about that kind of stuff, of working in the interest of them, future selves. I think they can visualize themselves in August a bit better. They can visualize the college result course a little bit. I know I'm speaking in generalizations here, but across you know, the cohort of teenager boys and girls, that's kind of like what we'd see. And boys struggle with that a little bit, but they need that little help, a little more structure maybe, a little bit of help with that, but not in the way that you're doing everything for them. Because, you know, you can push your child and you can be, you know, trying to drive them on, or you can annex their agency and take too much off them, and they'll sit back and let you do everything. You don't want to get caught like that either.
In the end, the child has to do the study themselves.
Exactly,
they have to sit the exam themselves.
Yeah, they have to. And sometimes, it's a controversial point, sometimes a child has to not do so well to learn. I know for me, my junior cert was a disaster. If you saw my junior cert results, you'd think, God, this fella needs a bit of help here, right? Because I thought studying was listening to Bob Dylan. You know, I was up in my bedroom listening to David Bowie and Bob Dylan and the Beatles and all that kind of stuff. And I thought that was study. And I wasn't studying at all. And so when the exams came along, my preparation wasn't so great there, Irene. And I figured out from that, actually, you have to put some substance into the thing. You have to study consistently to build the knowledge to be able to do the exam. And actually, you know, what I'd always say to teenagers when they're doing this, it's that consistency that wards off anxiety when you feel that you've got your head around the content and you're working, you know, in the interest of that future self. If you were to say to me, what is happiness and how do we feel happiness? Mm. It's when we're progressing towards something, when we're putting something in consistently towards an outcome goal. That's when you start to feel real sense of like fulfillment in your life, you know.
And how happiness. Can you apply that philosophy then to somebody who's in the throes of just preparing for exams and stressed and finding it hard to sleep, for example?
Well, it's funny about sleep. You know, I had a student there about 3 weeks ago. I was in the class and I saw this brilliant student I work with and she looked exhausted. And I'll just call her Karen for the sake of the story. I said, Karen, no sleep last night. And she said, no, Richard, none whatsoever. And I said, does this sound familiar? If I get 8 hours sleep now, that'll be good. If I get 7, okay, not bad. If I get 6, that'll be okay. I need to get at least 5 hours sleep, 4 hours sleep, 3 hours sleep. She was like, you're like literally in my head. And I was like, is that what you did last night? And she said, yeah, absolutely. And I said, right, have you ever done an exam before where you didn't sleep? And she said, yeah, my whole junior cert. She said, I had insomnia for my entire junior cert.
That's anxiety.
Yeah. And I said to her, and did you do well? Because I know she's a brilliant student now, right? Mm. She said, I did a fantastic junior cert. And I said, well, by all accounts, you probably shouldn't sleep again for the leaving cert. And I could see her looking at me. She goes, what do you mean? I said, well, you performed in an optimal way without sleep. So maybe you need no sleep to do really well. I could see her thinking, what the hell is he talking about? And I said, as I said to her, did you ever hear the story of Usain Bolt in one of his first major races? And she said, well, no. And I said, well, Usain Bolt, I said, you know, the great sprinter, like he was anxious about the run and he put the shoes on the wrong feet. And I said, and he still ran the race and he still won. And I said, have you ever seen Usain Bolt before the Olympics? And she's like, yeah, I have, yeah. I said, he's doing this stuff and he's doing all this stuff. He's relaxed. Right. I said, why is he relaxed, Karen? And she's like, because he knows he can win even on his worst day. I said, absolutely. On your worst day, you did a brilliant junior cert. Because what I'm doing there, right, is I understand that memory is such an important part of your like defeating anxiety. What is anxiety? A fear of an unknown future event. And if I, you know, and so what was her sleep about? I have to have 8 hours. The minute you say that to yourself, have you ever said that? I need to have 10 hours for tomorrow.
It won't happen.
It won't happen. And so if I say to myself, well, even if I don't get the sleep, I can still perform optimally, right? And honestly, the next day, this is a true story now. I came into class and I said, you look a bit more rested there, Karen. She said, I had the best sleep of my life last night. And I said, why? She said, I was just about to start the whole, I need 8 hours, Lark, she said. But then I realized if I don't sleep, I'll be able to. And then she said, I fell asleep. And the next thing I remember is I woke up because she just relaxed. Because it's when you're like this, I have to sleep, you're not going to sleep. When you realise, if I don't sleep, so what? Then you fall asleep.
And we all know sleep is really important.
Absolutely.
Restorative, helps
everything.
Us learn better, helps
if,
our mood.
If you were asking me if you could cure one thing across the species, what it'd be, we all get a good restful night's sleep, you know?
You also talk about the importance of food, exercise
as
well.
Yeah, all of that stuff is really important. I mean, that's what I'd say to teenagers when I'm working with them about the leaving cert, and I do a lot of mentoring around it. Mm. I'd say to them, you know, okay, the study is really important, but your downtime is really important too. And not studying like scramming and all that kind of stuff, consistently working and finishing at a reasonable hour, not like finishing at 12 o'clock at night and all that, because then you're not winding down, you're not getting the sleep. You need to keep up your extracurricular stuff. Mm. I worked with a girl a couple of years ago. She was just a brilliant student. She was just one of those students that was phenomenal. She was playing the violin and she was a piano player and she was into this. They're just all into that. She got one of the best Leaving Certs I'd ever come across in my life, let's be honest. But she was just so into her extracurricular stuff too, and very social, just a beautiful girl. And, you know, talented, clever, worked consistently, just had all the right ingredients. Right. And a massive part of that ingredient was relaxing.
And letting her brain then.
Because your brain's a machine and it can't be, you can't have it like a car racing, like a Ferrari going all the time, because then you're going to tip over and then it'll just be racing at nighttime. You need to be able to pull back and rest and then absorb stuff the next day, pull back and rest and absorb stuff. And that's getting that balance right.
And then the whole idea, you're talking, so food is part of that. Yeah. Exercise is part of that as well. That's self-care.
I'd always try to have the fridge, you know, nicely stocked with good food, because, you know, when they're in doing their exams, they're burning off a bit more calories and they're more susceptible to like low mood. Yeah. So they open the fridge like, where the hell is the food?
There's
nothing there for them, right? And so I'd just be a little more sensitive to that and have that there.
What happens if your child snaps at you and doesn't say thanks, slams the door, leaves their dishes hanging around? That kind of. Do you think, is there a point where you say that's enough? Or do you give them a lot of slack?
I'd give them a bit of slack, but I would never accept a slamming door. It's just a personal thing. I never accept that. And I just like stamp that out as a culture. Mm. I wouldn't accept that in my family, to be honest. Mm. And the kids don't do it. Now, I remember my daughter did it once and I remember, so I was like, this is not happening in my house here.
This is a red line.
This is a hard no, right? And I was like, if you're trying to communicate what you're trying to say to me, besides slamming the door, what would you want to say? And then, you know, and I'm saying, so how do you think the door communicates that? Because the door doesn't communicate that at all. And so I try to get in there. Now I'm annoyed, like I'm really annoyed, because I grew up in a family where the door was slammed all the time, and that kind of can crack the marrow of your soul there. So like, that's not happening in my family. Red line here. I don't do it. My wife doesn't do it. The kids don't do it, right? And it's funny, sometimes, you know, my daughter might slam the door going up, it's not in a temper, the wind might catch, you come back and I didn't actually slam that there, that was the wind, you know. So, and so
the
culture, she's got the message, that's a no. And I would, even in exam season, I wouldn't accept that. Mm. And I don't accept my daughter's speaking rudely to my wife. It's just like, or myself, you know.
So you have?
I have hard nose.
Rules.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd say, I get it. You're annoyed. I said, and I get that that's annoying. Mm. I absolutely get that. And I get you're stressed maybe with your exams and all that. I said, but that does not give you the right to speak disrespectfully to me. Am I speaking disrespectfully to you? Mm. And I'd always have it like that with them. And so that they kind of process, because they go away and they mightn't even think, you mightn't think that they're processing that in front of you, because it could be eye rolling or whatever it is. But you know they're going away to absorb that. You know, that was actually unfair. I shouldn't have said that. They don't speak
to
me.
They reflect afterwards.
Yeah, they reflect afterwards, absolutely.
What do you see about the difference between good and bad exam stress? And we'll just go back and look at that in more depth.
Yeah, coping mechanisms. I suppose the biggest thing I would say, which is a bit abstract of an idea, and it's important to think about, if you've got a kid who's not thriving, let's say, in their exams, or you feel like they're not putting the work in, often I've exposed the paradigm underneath that. They have a fatalistic belief that they're not that clever. And so they're looking for a get out of jail card, right? Which is when the exam doesn't go, this is the paradox now here, this is self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah. When the exam doesn't go well, they can say, at least I didn't study. And so that's their get out of jail card. And so they bring in to life their biggest fear, which is that they're stupid. And so the exam result confirms to them that they're not that bright, but they've brought it into life. You know, if you're following what I'm saying?
It's kind of complex.
It's a complex idea. So their belief system is that they're not that clever. Mm-hmm. And so if they don't reach for the exam, if they don't sit down and study hard, because if they do study hard, and this is the way the brain works, if they study really hard and the result doesn't go the way they want them to go, it will confirm their worst nightmare. And so if I don't study, at least I've got to get out of jail card for that.
Which is, I didn't do enough work.
I didn't do enough work. And they're bringing that absolute thing into life. I can see when I'm telling this and I'm explaining this to them, I can see them absorbing, Jesus, that's exactly what I'm doing. And I say, what would it be like to be more courageous? You know, what would it be like to kind of like, you know, really reach for what you want? I've reached for things and I haven't got them in my life. I said, that's just been a human being. You don't get everything. You don't get everything you go for. And I haven't got every exam that I've ever gone for that I really wanted a good result out of. So that's just the slings and arrows, the ups and downs, the percentages. It's like Manchester United. I used to use them as an example, and not anymore. Maybe. And I can't say Man City. I can't bring myself to saying that. But great teams, let's say, you know, don't always perform optimally. Great teams, because they're humans playing the game. And so they might have a bad day, a bad off day. The thing doesn't go the way, the rain, the whatever it is, you know, Ireland didn't, you know, win the Six Nations Day. They didn't have a clean sheet there and they're a brilliant team. Little percentage, 1 point. You know what I mean? That's it. That's life.
But the big thing is they step out and they play the game.
Go for it.
And they
you
do
go
their
for
best.
It. Because honestly, If you don't go for it, it is the roots of depression. It is the roots of self-loathing. It is the roots of all of this rhizomatic things that can get caught in your soul there. If you don't push yourself, if you don't see what you're capable
of. That's the good stress.
If you don't, that's the good stress. You have to have that stuff. That's disturbing your universe stress. You know, that's kind of going, geez, will I go for that? And let's see if I can get that. And if you don't get it, it's not like you berate yourself. You're like, okay, what does the sat nav do? It just reorients there.
What do I learn from that?
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I always say about, you know, what we were talking about earlier about reframing and positivity. Mm-hmm. I never think of failure moments. I only ever think about learning moments. And such a note, that's a really important point for parents, because I think we have an epidemic of a fear of failure. And when we have a fear, when we have any fear, we have two responses, control and avoidance. And so you're trying to teach your children not to be fearful of what I would perceive as not failure, learning. It's like Bill Gates said it very well. Success is a very poor educator. Success doesn't really teach you that much.
So as a parent, you embrace the failure.
You're pushing them towards things.
Okay. Regardless of the outcome.
Regardless of the outcome. So like, you know, I'll give you a small example. Let's say my daughter wants to go for the school play, but I hear her kind of going, oh, maybe I mightn't get the part. Mm. Now I'm going to push her towards that. Be brave, you know, be brave, go for it. And if you don't get it, let's think about what, you know, what did you learn from going for it this time? Because the next time you might get it. I mean, you know, if you think about Cillian Murphy there winning the Oscar, that's not just that night. That's not just an Oppenheimer. That's a whole life of working towards something. And that's a whole life of not getting things as well. You know, and it's really important that people see just the success. They don't see the things you didn't get. They don't see the things that you really learn from.
But there are stepping stones as well.
Absolutely.
And to value that.
Because people only abstract the success and they think, oh God, Elon Musk, whatever. He's so successful. But if you actually looked at his life trajectory, there are moments there where he was on the brink,
failures.
Moments of like significant, you know, what we might say failure, but no, learning moments. And it's, I think we've
and to encourage
we've got,
your child
yeah,
to look at examinations
that.
Along those lines
yeah,
as well.
Absolutely.
Okay, if I don't get that score, there will be a learning there.
Well, and I'll get it next time.
And I get it next
That's
time.
That's resilience. Yeah. You know, it's like any footballer, you know, they miss a penalty. Yeah. They don't say to themselves, I'm crap at football. They think I'll get it next time.
And what happens then if your child then doesn't want to step out on that playing field and says, look at, hate the exam, I'm going to sit back, just fold my arms and let the worst happen. If a child
well,
is that
sometimes the worst happening for me personally was, you know, doing a very bad junior cert. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want that to be me. Sometimes you do have to have a bad moment. You do have to have a little bottom moment where you hit something. You know, you can't, ultimately, you can't force your child to study. You can't stand over them. You know, you're trying to give them the right advice. You're trying to get them good thinking and get them to think more positive about themselves and push themselves and to think about their future self. It's a really important thing that I say to teenagers. If you want to succeed in anything in life, it's about working in the interest of your future self. And I get them to visualize themselves in August going in to get the results. How do you want to feel in that moment? I get them to think about that. Because
yes.
I used to do that myself when I was a teenager. Mm. How do I want to be when I'm getting the results? How do I want to be when I get my college results? How do I want to feel in that moment? Mm. And I work towards that feeling. That's what I used to do personally. Mm. And I find teenage boys in particular find that really helpful, because they might struggle with that. And they say, imagine what it'll feel like when you're going in having put a good bit of effort into this. Whatever about the result, but that you know you put a good bit of effort into this and that, whatever the result will be.
And effort equals outcome.
Yeah, of course it does, you see. And their outcome will be much better. And they feel much more positive about themselves. And then they get a little bit of a template about how you succeed in life.
What about the child? You have different children, have different styles of studying for exams. So some are very structured, like you were talking about the girls. Boys might be more the late night cramming. Sometimes you get a mix of both. So how do you work with a child who has a less than optimal approach to studying?
Again, you don't want to be doing everything for them, but you're trying to give them a little bit of a structure, right, around it. And again, I'm thinking about teenage boys. I was one such boy, right? Mm-hmm. I need a little bit of more structure, you know, around what I was going to do and, you know, going through the steps, like not the peak there, but the steps to get there. A little bit of structure, help them a little bit of structure. That's all I'd say, but you're not going to do it for them. Mm-hmm. I'd often meet parents who are saying, oh, I'm studying for him pretty much. And I'm like, well, that's agency robbing there, you know. Mm-hmm. And if that's what you're doing, ultimately he's learning that you're going to try to solve all his problems for him. And then you're going to have a 22-year-old who's probably going to drop out of college because it's going to be too problematic for him when he walks into that murky world of, you know, everything is up to you and it's more about, you know, self-directed learning, all that kind of stuff. They won't thrive there. So you're trying to give them structure in a way that's not actually robbing them of their, you know, autonomy.
So what do you mean by that structure? Could you just give me an idea?
Yeah, just a little timetable. Help them with a timetable. Like, you know,
okay.
Yeah,
right.
Just a little bit of timetable.
Get them to agree to that.
And make it realistic, because, you know, I often come up with timetable. I do loads of this stuff, like mentoring with teenagers, mm-hmm. for the Leaving Cert, about their time, what their day is like and where they could do a little bit of study. And it's just embedding that in, getting a good bit of habit. And then all of a sudden they start feeling good about themselves and they feel like, actually, that's a good feeling. When I study, That's a good feeling. When I don't study and I'm with the lads, I don't feel that great. I'm actually thinking about my leaving cert. But when I do study and go with the lads, that's a much better feeling because I know I'm working in the interest of my future self. Because that's when you get a little hit. That's when your body releases.
And there's a visualization there.
You're working towards something that's really, I mean, what is happiness? It's really about progress. You know what I mean? I think we miss.
And the potential progress.
Yeah, exactly. We miss that idea about happiness. We think we should all be happy no matter what we're doing. It's like, absolutely not. Jesus, no. You're lying on your couch there and doing nothing all day long for like months. I don't think you'll ever feel good. But if you're thinking, and I'm not saying that you have to be this incessant drive towards incessant productivity, but it's like if you're doing the leaving cert and you're working and you're doing a bit of timetabling there and you're working in the interest of your future self, you will feel much better about yourself and will ward away anxiety, and you'll be able to be out with the lads and meet the friends and go to the, and you'll feel good about yourself. That's, to me, happiness.
Thank you for listening. Tune in next Tuesday when I'll be talking to Joanna Fortune about building friendships during the teenage years.